Just want to welcome each one here this morning. And it's a blessing to be here and hearing the Word of God and hearing these songs and meditating upon it. Just a blessing to be with the people of God and worship our God together. And I was already, just blessed by it. I was thinking of this song here. It says, at least the last verse there says, I thank the Lord my maker. Thank the Lord for giving the spirit of his grace that I may serve him living. Are we thankful this morning? Are we thankful for the spirit of God this morning? For God's spirit in us so that he can help us. We allow him to help us and guide us and go through life. And there was another song that I would like to sing. It's 866, I think is what it is, if you don't mind. Let's sing that song because it talks about things that I want to talk about. Rise up, O man of God. Yeah, let's sing that song. Nathaniel, if you want to go ahead and start it.
So, O man of God, in the restless earth peace, give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O man of God, his kingdom tarries long. Bring in the day of brotherhood and the night of wrong. Rise up, O man of God, the church for you does wait. Her strength unequal to her task, rise up. The cross of Christ, tread where his feet have trod. As brothers of the Son of Man, rise up, O man of God.
That's such a wonderful song, wording there. And I hope, we take that to heart and live it out. And that's my goal. That's my desire. And that's a little bit what I want to talk about it. Yet I realize that there's many things that I'm going to miss, many things that could be said that I won't say. And there's probably some things you might not understand that I will try to explain. And if I say anything that is not according to the Word of God, you're welcome to correct me in that. So, I have a picture here that I thought I'd put up for you. You might laugh at it, but that's okay. We'll just kind of gives you the idea, to rise up and get to work. I'm not sure if you can see that or not, but it's somebody laying down in bed and sleeping there. So it says above there, it says, rise up, O man of God. And I'm to get up and go to work. let's pray before we get into the message. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day that we can be gathered. Here's your people gathered together and hear your word and be encouraged. And learn from you, Father. Just help us and guide me as I try to share some things there in your word. Father, just give me words to share that would be an encouragement, that would be edifying, and and the truth. Help me to speak the truth and not just come out with my own things, Father, but pray that you would just guide me there. Just bless each one, Father, as we look into your word here. We thank you. Just be with us and guide us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's a verse in Nehemiah 2, verse 18, you probably know about where I'm getting at now. It says, "And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's word that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to the good work." So they were talking about rising up and building the temple back. And when they heard that, they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to his good work. It wasn't just something that they talked about. It wasn't just something that they knew to do, but it was something that they went ahead and did it there. In this verse, Nehemiah rallies the people to rise up and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Their response is a commitment to action. It inspires us to rise up in unity, diligently engaging in the work of God, in the work God has assigned to us together. With shared purposes and determination, we can overcome obstacles and accomplish great things for God. We can overcome obstacles by rising up above them and do great things for God. You know, there's many obstacles. Whatever it might be an obstacle, or it might be, well, obstacle can be different things. Things might rise up and try to get in the way, in our way, to where we think we don't know, we can't go on like this, or we don't know how to do this. And things will come in the way, but just remember that God is for us and not against us. God wants us to rise up and build. He wants us to rise up, get above our obstacle, and follow him. It says, rise up, O man of God. go there. Have done with lesser things. What is he talking about there when he says, have done with lesser things? Well, what comes to my mind is, you know, here in the United States, we have plenty of things, or at least some of us do. And it's a rich country, and we have all we need, really. Most of us do, I think. There might be some that don't have all that, but the more things that I have, the less time I was spent with God. Is that true? Is that a true saying? It can be. It might be. It can be true. Because the more things you have, the more things you have to keep in shape, you have to look after. And I was just thinking about that as, you know, our vehicles might say, take that for to bring out a point. It could be many different things, but one vehicle, you have one vehicle, and you know that just as well as I do that you can't go forever with those tires on there. So you're going to have to take it somewhere to get your tires changed, maybe once a year or every 30 to 40,000 miles. And you know it takes an oil change every now and then. So there's two different things already. You're going to have to spend time. You might not do the oil change yourself, but you're still going to take it somewhere to get your oils changed, and that takes time too. And then, of course, you rotate your tires every so often. Now, you might think I'm just bringing this out because we just recently opened up a tire shop or mechanic shop, but that's not why I'm bringing it out. And you will also spend some time washing your vehicle, taking care of it. And the brakes, there are brakes. You have to change your brakes every so often. And every 300 to 400 miles, you have to stop somewhere and fill it up with gas. And there's many different things. I could just go and name things that you're going to spend time with your vehicle. And one vehicle is not so bad. You might be looking at 10, 15 hours per year on one vehicle. I'm just putting out a number there. And that's not so bad, but what about if you have two vehicles? Then you double the time. And what about if you have three vehicles? There you go again, just another 15 hours on top of that. And if you have six vehicles like we have, they're not all mine, but six vehicles, then it's pretty soon it's taking up 60, 70 hours in a year. And where are those hours going to come from? Are they taken away from your family time? Are you taken away from your time with the Lord? And I was thinking of where do we spend all our time? We need at least, I think most of us, it's good to have 8 hours of sleep, at least 8 hours of sleep. There's 24 hours in a day, 8 hours of sleep, and if you work, I don't know, you might work 10 hours a day, there's 18 hours. So you have 6 hours left. You want time, it takes time to sit down at the table and eat with your family. Maybe another hour and yeah, I don't know what all you do with your time, but there's the lawn to mow, you have a lawnmower, you have to keep that in shape, and a couple of trailers maybe, and whatever you have, the more things you have, the more time it's going to take away from something. Are you taking that time away from the Lord, or what are you doing with your time? Now, I realize we can have work to do, and we can do our things, and we can still be serving the Lord. We can still be doing it for the Lord. But yet, if you're doing those things, you're not going to have your full attention with the Lord. So you need some time. You need some time just set aside just for the Lord, for you and the Lord there. I'm just saying, the more things you have, the more time it's going to take you to look all over your things. So we need to be careful, and we need to be careful where we spend our time, what we do with it, because like I said, there's only 24 hours in a day, and God wants our attention too. We need to spend time with the Lord. Even if you think you have six hours left in the day or 4 hours left in the day, a lot of times when you get home from work, after a day's work, then you might want to mow your yard yet or do a little work out in the shop or this or that or the other thing. So you just need to set some time aside for the Lord. There's nothing wrong with going to work. We have to work to support our family. But how busy are you going to make yourself? Can you do with lesser things? So that you can give your heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Serving the Lord with all your heart is a biblical concept emphasizing total devotion and dedication to God. This involves a commitment of one's thoughts, emotions, will, and actions. To him, it's about prioritizing God's will and interest in all aspects of life. You know, all the things that we do, we need to do it as unto the Lord. But yet, while we're at our work, we cannot give our full attention to God because we got our mind set on other things. Let's go to Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Starting in verse 4, it said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thine house and thy gates." So we see that God wants us to love Him with all our heart, our soul, and our mind. He wants us to do that, and He's telling us to teach our children, to teach these things to our children, and that is one way that we can, that our next generation, that is one way that our next generation will know and will learn some of these things, is by sitting down with them before we go to bed, when we rise up, when we travel with them, whatever we do with them, God tells us to teach these things to our children. In our everyday life, wherever we go or whatever we do with them, to teach them to our children. To love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, and our might. This passage sets a pattern that helps us relate the Word of God to our daily lives. We are to love God, think constantly about His commandments, teach His commandments to our children, and live our daily lives by the guidelines of His Word. Live our lives in a way that people can see that we love God. God emphasizes the importance of parents teaching the Bible to their children. The church cannot take that place. The school cannot take that place. The place of the parents. I'm saying it's the church cannot take the place of the parents, or the school cannot take the place of the parents. But the church can be a help. The church can be a help, if it's done in the right way, to guide and to give direction to the family. We're here to help one another. We're here to help one another rise up and be a man of God. That's what we're here for, is to help one another. If you want your children to follow God, you must make God a part of your everyday life. You must teach your children to see God in all aspects of life, not just those that are church-related. Deuteronomy 6 there, and going on in verse 10 to 13. "And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy father, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells dig, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt eat and be full, we have all, he's talking about the children of Israel when they came out into the promised land and having all these houses with good things, filled with fruit and things to eat, and they had all they needed, all they wanted, and yet they didn't have to work. They weren't really working for them. But they had him so richly. Now look at verse 13. No, verse 12. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Serve the Lord. Thou shalt serve the Lord. Moses warned the people not to forget God when they entered the promised land and become prosperous. Prosperity more than poverty can dull our spiritual vision, because it tends to make us self-sufficient and eager to acquire still more of everything except God. See, when we have all that we need, we don't need anybody else to share things with us. We have everything we need. We think we have got it made. There's a danger in that when we have everything that we need and we don't need anybody to help us, or we don't need anybody to share with us. We have what we need, so why pray for something? You know, we have it already. Why do we pray for it? There's the dangers in that. That's what Moses there is warning the children of Israel there when they came into that promised land, or I think it was Moses there that was warning him. Maybe I'm wrong on that. I was just thinking Moses didn't make it to the promised land, did he? But they was warned there, you know, when they had all those good things and prosperity and everything they needed, that they would not forget God. And I think that's something we need to be aware of as well. When we have everything we need, everything we want, and yet there's something there that still wants more. Wants more and more. We have to be careful with that. We can't satisfy ourselves if we just scrap for more and more because it's available and we have the money to buy it and all those things. Let's not forget God and what He wants us to do. Again, we come back to the thing of the more you have, the more time it takes to take care of those things, and your time, God wants you to spend time with Him. Deuteronomy 10, verse 13, or verse 12, says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." Again, it's emphasizing that God wants our heart. He wants us to love Him with all our heart, our soul. Fear the Lord. Have reverence for Him. Walk in His ways. Live a Christ-like life. Love Him with all your heart. Keep His commandments. If we love the Lord, we keep His commandments, right? That's what God says, I think. He said, "If you love me, you keep my commandments." So that's pretty simple there. If you love God, keep His commandments. Whatever God tells you in His Word, you will do if you love Him. Now, we might sometimes sidestep, or we might be sidetracked or do the wrong things, but there's always a willingness to go back and make those things right if we if we love God. In the fear of adversity, it is crucial to find strength and rise above the challenges that come our way. And we're going to face many challenges if we are a child of God. There's many different things we're going to... It might not be the same for you as it is for me. But the Bible provides us with powerful verses that inspire us to rise up, embrace courage, and overcome obstacles. Psalms 3, verse 3 says, But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head. When facing problems, trials, suffering, we may feel like giving up. When we feel seriously let down by life, we should remember that we still have one hope. God is all the hope we need because His promise to be a shield to protect us. He promises us to be a shield to protect us and guide us. When we focus on our thoughts, when we focus our thoughts on God, He restores our confidence in Him and in the future He has planned for us. We put our trust in God. He will get us. He will help us through. He will get us through. And if we face some situation and we just simply don't know what to do, we can get on our knees and pray. We can go into His Word and seek. There's a song here that somebody wrote. Somebody in this audience wrote a song. And I'm just going to read that song to me. It's uplifting. We never sing it here, I don't think. It says, Up, up, my soul, on wings of praise. To God our songs of gladness raise. In holy strains express the love of God who dwells in heaven above. Down, down, my soul, down on your knees. And raise to God your earnest pleas. Who is your help when trouble rise? Where is your strength to gain the prize? Burn, burn, my soul, and ever aspire to reach that land that's so desired, and arm yourself firm and strong to do the right and shun the wrong. Live, live, my soul, a life of power that's free from sin through every hour. Eternal life, my heavenly goal, 'twill always be within my soul. That's a powerful words there. And I think we should learn to sing that song here. But I'll leave it up to the person who wrote it, I guess. Isaiah 60, verse 1 says, Arise, shine, for thy light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. This verse encourages believers to arise and shine. In the light of God's presence, when His glory shines upon us, we are empowered to stand up, radiating His love and truth to the world. Through God's grace, we become beacons of hope and instrument of His transformative power. Acts 26. It talks about Paul's conversion there. When he was telling the king about it, I might just go there and read a couple of verses. Acts 26. in verse 14. It said, "And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying, in a Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of the things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee." So it's Paul there talking to the king there and sharing part of his conversion there, I think is what it is. And he says, "But rise and stand upon thy feet. Rise above your fears. Rise above whatever you might be facing. And be a witness and a minister for the Lord. Rise above your fear." Paul was walking in obedience here. He was willing to be an instrument for God. He was willing to share the gospel for Christ. The songwriter that wrote this song, "Rise Up, O Man of God," he urges us to stand strong by proclaiming Christ, even to a world seemingly uninterested in the gospel. It says, "Lift up, lift high the cross of Christ, tread where his feet have trod. As brothers of the Son of Man, rise up, O man of God." So let's rise up above our troubles, above what we're facing. Let's rise up and be workers for God, work in his kingdom. And God will help us through. God will be there for us. The songwriter, he's reminding us that Jesus modeled the way forward, and we must follow his path. I thought of another song there, that we must follow his path. I might read this song here. I think it's 7:17. I'm just going to read some of it to you, or all of it. Here it says, "Follow the path of Jesus. Walk where his footsteps lead. Keep in his beaming present every counsel heed. Watch while the hours are flying, ready some good to do. Quick while his voice is calling, yield obedience true. Cling to the hand of Jesus all through the day and night. Dark though the way and dreary, he will guide you right. Live for the good of others, helpless, oppressed, and wrong. Lift them from depths of sorrow. In his strength, be strong. Take up the cross of Jesus, sharing the shame he bore. Self and the world denying, love the Savior more. Tell all the world of Jesus. Think of their gloom and loss. Tell of his great salvation. Glory to his name." So in his strength, be strong. In our own strength, we don't get very far. We're let down, and we don't know how to get on. It says here, in his strength, be strong. If we allow him to strengthen us, if we allow him to take over and give us that strength, it will go a long ways. It will go, if it is for Jesus. He will guide you right. And it talks in here somewhere about helping others, for the good of others. Live for the good of others. And we're not just, if we are following Jesus, we're not just doing our own thing, but we're also living for the good of others. We lift high the cross of Christ by preaching the message of the cross to sinful mankind. Then we illustrate the message of the cross by treading in the footsteps of our Savior, who left us a perfect example. In 1 Peter, I'm going to turn to 1 Peter there and read a couple verses. 1 Peter 2. First Peter 2, verse 21 and 22. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Talking about following in his steps, our Lord Jesus, he was an example to us, and we need to follow in his steps. In this way, we truly show that we are brothers of the Son of Man. Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2, verse 11, 12, and 17. It says, for both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all one, for which cause he is not ashamed to be called, to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, and will sing praise unto thee. Verse 17. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. He might make reconciliation for the sins of the people. If we think about Christ our Lord, he didn't have no sin. And here he came down on earth and made a way for mankind. And he is not ashamed. For those that follow him, he's not ashamed to call those his brethren. And I think that should be something to rejoice about. Is, you know, if you think about a perfect Christ there and come down to these sinful people and teaching us the way and knowing we know we're not perfect like Jesus is, but yet he is not afraid to call us his brethren. We who have been set apart for God's service, cleansed and made holy, sanctified by Jesus, now have the same Father he has. So he is not ashamed to call us his brethren, because God has adopted all believers as his children. Jesus called them his brothers. To be a child of God, you have to live a disciplined life. Discipline is not a punishment. Discipline refers to the training and control of oneself or others, often through rules and consequences, to achieve a desired outcome or maintain order. Discipline is doing what must be done. Discipline is all about preparing yourself. The man who masters his mind masters his world. You have to live a disciplined life in order to be a child of God. You must plant thoughts of victory, thoughts of power, thoughts of destiny, thoughts of purpose. You must water those thoughts daily with action, with prayer, with declaration of truth. Your mind must become a garden where only strength is allowed to live. That strength, the things of God, where only the things of God are allowed to live. If you permit weakness to stay, it will spread like wildfire and burn down everything you are building. Mastering your mind means mastering your focus. And I might say that if I mention, about mastering your mind, I'm talking about mastering it with God's word, or mastering it with the right things, not just be your own master and do what you want, but mastering your mind with, I'm thinking of having a disciplined life and working or aligning it with God's word, mastering it in that way. Mastering your mind means mastering your focus. What you focus on, you multiply. Focus on obstacles and they will grow. Focus on fears and they will paralyze you. Focus on failures and they define you. But focus on solutions and you will find them. Focus on opportunities and they will open. Focus on the call of God on your life and it will burn brighter than the darkness around you. You must train yourself to fix your gaze like a lion and lock into its prey, never blinking nor hesitating, never hesitating, never doubting. Distraction is death. Focus is life. Focus on the Lord. That's life. Your mind must be trained daily, like a warrior trains his for battle. You don't drift into strength. You don't stumble into mastery. You forth it with blood and fire and sweat. Every morning when you rise, you must set your mind with intention. Command it where to go. Command it where to believe. Command it what to pursue. The man who wakes up and lets his mind wander is already defeated before the day has begun. You must become the master, craftsman of your own thinking, shaping it into a weapon so sharp, so relentless, that nothing can dull it. You will have to fight mental battles that no one else sees, and you will have to fight wars in the hidden places of your soul, where no one else knows, no one else cheers, no one else encourages. There's times when we go through things that nobody else knows about. We have to fight those battles. And nobody will be there to cheer. Nobody will be there to encourage. It is there in the silence war that champions are made. When the voice of fear rises, crush it. When the voice of self-pity whines, silence it. When the voice of laziness tempts you, mock it. You must dominate your inner world if you ever hope to dominate anything in the outer world. Victory begins in the chambers of your own mind before it is ever seen on the battlefield of life. Master your mind and you will master your emotions. Master your mind and you will master your habits. Master your mind and you will master your future. We need to master our mind. We need to have control over those in those areas, over those things. And God will bless us. (Clears throat) going to read a couple a verse there in Ephesians 2, verse 10. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Walking, talking about walking in the Word of God, talking about following Jesus' footsteps. We are his workmen, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. In Joshua 1, verse 9, I think I'm going to close with this verse here. It says, "I have commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Let's just remember that God is the Creator, and God wants us to rise up above our stumbling block, or rise up above our troubles, and rise up above whatever we are facing. He wants us to rise up and be a man of God. He wants us to rise up and overcome those things. And he will. He will help us through those things. And he will make us and mold us into his image if we allow him. So let's find time to spend with the Lord, meditating and giving our full attention to God, our heart and our soul and our mind and our strength to the Lord. God wants that strength, that time from us. So may the Lord bless you all.